Good morning, Shalom. It is so fun to see your faces and to hear your voices and just connect up the way that we can in this time when we can actually be together.
Cool.
It is Palm Sunday. It's the start of Holy Week, and I just am excited that we get to really focus in today on who Jesus is for us, all that he's done. And that's what we'll be just, we're going to continue throughout this week. We'll have a Bible study Tuesday morning. We've got one, a Psalm study on Wednesday night. We'll be looking at Psalm 16, Monday, Thursday service, Good Friday service, so that we can come into Easter just really ready to celebrate the resurrection and Jesus' victory over it all. So,
amen.
So as we start off today, let's join together in prayer. Well, Father, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the gift of life, for the gift of knowing that you're with us in every moment of life. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift of community and for giving us ways of being connected when we can't be together. Lord, as we're gathered here, we want to meet with you. We want to praise you, and we want to hear from you. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just come meet each one of us where we are, and draw us to Jesus and draw us together and just do what only you can do, Lord. Stir us up in faith and form your life within us so that we can share your life with the world. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start with a song of praise together, just focusing on where our strength comes from, and that is the Lord and his joy.
Thank you.
don't know about you guys, but even just hearing that music and reflecting on the songs, I felt it all just rising up within me. So now we're going to turn to the...
Our first reading is Psalm 118, verses 22 through 29. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Here ends the reading.
From Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. This is right where after Jesus has fed the 5,000. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right, he said. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water. All right, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. You don't have much faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. After they had crossed the lake, they arrived at Gennesaret. The news of their arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. The sick begged him to let them touch even the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you that we can gather in this way to hear your word, to give you praise, to be knit together as the body of Christ by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask for that today, that you'd send your Spirit in and among each one of us, then you would take this word and cause it to grow up in us, making our faith strong, and so that we can live as witnesses to you, to your goodness, to your love, to your power, as we live out life in this world. Lord, we just thank you that you are who you are. You are the sovereign, the almighty, the eternal, the holy one. And you are our Father and you love us. And Lord, would you just minister that to us now? In Jesus we pray. Amen. Last week we were looking at the feeding of the 5,000 and how Jesus tells the disciples that there's a need and they should meet it. And it looks impossible to them, but of course it's not impossible, because they weren't intended to try to meet that need on their own power. They were intended to let God be at work through them. And so with a heart of gratitude, Jesus thanks God for what is available, and they begin to pass it out, and it just doesn't run out, and it multiplies, and there is even more left over than there was to begin with, because God's just able to do that. And what we heard in our gospel reading last week was that, you know, Jesus asks the disciples, you know, how they should do it, but he already knows. He's already made provision for it. So then immediately after that, that's where this story picks up. Jesus tells the disciples to get into the boat and go over to the other side. Now, it's relatively, it's not night yet, because we find out that Jesus goes up onto the mountain to pray, and while he's up on the mountain, night falls. So the disciples are out in the boat for quite a while, because it is somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning when this storm comes up, where Jesus is, according to this translation, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, but it's the last watch of the night, and so could have been anywhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. So the disciples have been out on the water for a long, long time. It's about 8 miles across the Sea of Galilee at its widest point. Now, maybe they didn't go directly across. Maybe they got a longer road path that they're following, but they're clearly bucking a really rough storm, and it's going on, and they're getting tired, and they're getting discouraged, and they're getting afraid. And then Jesus comes walking across the water to them. But it's not instant relief, because in their fear, they don't even recognize it's him. In their fear and their exhaustion, they think that it's another threat. And I think sometimes that's a word for us. When we get out of the peace in the midst of the storm, we might not even recognize the help that God is sending to us, and we might actually start pushing away the help that he's got. Jesus speaks to them, and he says, don't be afraid. He actually says, take courage. It is I. I'm here. Now, that doesn't seem very realistic to us. There is genuine threat in their storm, and they know the threat is real. I mean, most of the disciples had been fishermen. You know, it's not like storms were a new thing to them. They knew that sometimes people don't survive. But Jesus says, in the midst of that storm, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. And I think that is a word for us again. In the battle, the storm that we are going through as a society, in this pandemic, there is genuine threat. There is genuine risk. And some are really tired, and some are really scared. And Jesus says to us, don't be afraid, and take courage. I am here. It is the truth for you. He is with you. Now, this is another thing that I want you to get. Jesus had told the disciples to get in that boat and go over to the other side. So they have been obedient. They are where he told them to be. So what we need to remember is that the fact that there are hardships or even dangers does not mean we are out of the will of God. But if God has sent us, or God has led us, we can absolutely be confident that God will be with us and God will provide for us. But here's the other really good news, is that that's the promise we have of God, even if we have gone out of his will. Psalm 139, even if I make my bed in the depths of hell, even there you will be. Because he will not leave us. He will not abandon us. Jesus knows them. And he sees them. and he comes to them. And that is the truth for us as well. He knows us, he loves us, he sees us, and he comes to us. And he says, don't be afraid. Doesn't say that there's no risk. He just says, because I'm here, you don't have to be afraid. So Peter says to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you in the water. Now, was it really Jesus? Yes, it was. So Jesus can't say to him, it's not me, don't come. Jesus was not necessarily wanting Peter out of that boat. This was Peter's idea. But Jesus does give him permission to come. And as he steps out in faith, he's able to do what he could not do on his own. His eyes are on Jesus, and he is empowered to do more than what would naturally be possible. But as he is walking, the wind and the waves distract him. And as he looks at the wind and the waves, he begins to sink. And that is so true for us as well. When we get our focus on our circumstances, as real as they are, that fear can rise up again. It's not that we're supposed to ignore the reality of the circumstance. It's that we are to keep our focus on our Savior, keeping our eyes on him. He looked around at the high waves. He was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. There is a promise in Scripture. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the people on that first Palm Sunday, as Jesus is making his entrance into Jerusalem, they are shouting out, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Now, they are shouting in expectation and celebration because they believe that he is the Messiah who is going to come and save them from the Roman domination. Now, he is the Messiah and he is coming to save them. The saving that he's going to do is not what they're expecting or what they think they need. And yet, they're celebrating and he's receiving their celebration. Lord, save us. And he does in the cross. Lord, save us, Peter says. And Jesus grabs his hand and lifts him up above those waves and gets him back into the boat, into a place of safety. When we call on the Lord, he will save. He promises, and he cannot be, he cannot deny himself. He cannot go back on his promises. His salvation, his saving act, might not be what we expect, might not be what we hope. But I want to go back to something else in Psalm 18. We didn't read the whole psalm. It's relatively long, but it's cool. I'd encourage you to go back and read it again later. This is 15 through 18. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die, but I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he has not handed me over to death. The reality in this pandemic is that some will die. It's not the will of the Lord, and yet the Lord triumphs, because even if we die, we live. We have to get that. We win no matter what happens, because Christ has won for us. But he absolutely cares about life in this world and life in these bodies. And he is still the healer. And he is still the miracle worker. He has not changed. And we are invited and we are encouraged to call on the name of the Lord for rescue and for redemption and for restoration in whatever circumstance we're in. And he will be faithful. And we will have testimonies of his triumph. So I want to bring you back to the beginning of Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the congregation of Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Over and over in the psalm, we hear this, repeat this, say this, his faithful love endures forever. One of the things we talked about in text study is like, wasn't it saying it once enough? No. We need to hear and remember over and over and over who our God is. He is good. And he is faithful. And he loves. And he is powerful. And we need to repeat that sometimes moment by moment, until we come back to that place of peace and confidence in who he is and who we are to him. But we get to sing the songs of celebration and praise in the middle of the storm. And we get to cry out, Lord, save us. And we experience him coming to us, he who is the Prince of Peace. And he rescues, and he comforts, and he protects. Repeat that this week. The Lord is good. His faithful love endures forever. If you're going to watch the news, be sure you watch the news with the filter of the Holy Spirit reminding you that God is in this storm, not the author of the disease and not the author of the pandemic. We know who that is. That's the enemy that Jesus says comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The storm that the disciples were in as they were in the boat going across the Sea of Galilee over to Gennesaret, God did not send that storm. But God met them in the storm. The enemy who wanted to stop the work of God in restoring lives was the one who sent the storm. But Jesus met them in it, protected them in it, and brought them through it. And when they got to the other side, news of their arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed, and all who touched even the fringe of his robe were healed. You see, that's why Satan didn't want him to get to the other side, because God had miraculous, gracious work that he was going to do through Jesus and through the disciples on the other side. That's why Satan wanted to stop it. And that's what I think is one of the great hopes right now. On the other side of the pandemic, we are going to see the powerful hand of the Lord reaching, rescuing, restoring, and saving. So don't lose hope in the middle of this storm. Call on the Lord to save you, to protect you. Look to him and let him give you his peace. And sing the songs of celebration of who our Lord is. Jesus, the name above every name. The name at which everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow. He is Lord, and he loves us, and he is with us, and we don't need to be afraid. Amen.